come to the end of Paul's letter to the Roman Christians. And so for 16 chapters, this Holy Spirit-inspired apostle of Jesus Christ has poured out life-giving words to the church at Rome and to every church in every place and every generation. This letter is preserved by the church for us to benefit from today. Paul has taught us what Christians believe. You study the first half of Romans, you're going to see what Christians believe. You know, there's a set thing that Christians must believe. The doctrine of the church, it's there. Read it. What Christians believe. The second half of the book, he's taught us how Christians live. And we got to have both. We need to believe right and live right. Romans helps us with both. He has explained the gospel. The word gospel means good news. The saving message of Jesus Christ. How sinners can be declared righteous by God, not on the basis of our good works, or none of us would measure up. But on what basis then? On the basis of God's grace through our faith in Jesus, trusting what Jesus did at the cross. We are declared righteous in the sight of God. That is the gospel Paul has been explaining. He's helped us to understand that gospel and how to apply it to numerous situations in life. And now, Paul closes this spiritual masterpiece with what else? A doxology. Do you know what a doxology is? The Greek word doxa means glory. And so a doxology is an outburst of praise to give the glory to God. Have you ever busted out in a doxology in your walk with God? Man, I have. You know, you get to that place where you just don't care if people think you're crazy or not anymore, but you can be driving down the road and you see a sunset and you just consider the beauty of our God, the majesty. That's just one star. And he didn't have to make it pretty to our eyes, and he did. And you're driving there and you look at it and you just say, "Praise you, Lord! I could never make that. I'm not even that good at painting a picture of that. But that's a star. It's burning with glory, with fire. And you made a countless host of them, and you know all their names." That's a doxology. That's a doxology. Paul likes to bust out in praise. One writer, one commentator, Mark Seyfried, he kind of sums it up this way. Paul's theology ends in doxology. That's a short, succinct way of just wrapping it up. Paul's theology, study of God, all that doctrine, all that heavy brain stuff. Listen, theology ought to end in doxology. When you study God, it should lead you not to having this big head that knows a lot of information, but you have a cold heart. The study of God should lead us to the love of God. Our learning should lead us to love. Amen? Theology overflows in doxology when you consider just who it is you're studying. So here in these last three verses of Romans, Paul writes a doxology. Now, this one is not short and succinct. In the Greek, these last three verses are one long, complicated sentence. Paul just started talking and praising, and he couldn't stop. Some of you guys know about that, right? And Paul just kept on praising. And you see what he does. We're going to see it in a second. He's going to take some of the major themes of Romans and weave them together in this outburst of praise. Praise God. So, we close today with gospel glory. Doxa. Glory. If you got your Bible there, let's read these verses together. Romans 16, 25 to 27. Now, to Him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations. According to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience, of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. That is one long, complicated sentence, and it is beautiful. Let's break this doxology down this morning as we end Romans. In that doxology, there are six aspects of the gospel. Six aspects of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as we look at gospel glory, we break these down together. First, we have the first sentence or the first phrase Paul uses. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. What we want to see this morning, the first aspect of the gospel is the reviving power of the gospel. The reviving power of the gospel. Paul starts with now to him. That's a common way of starting a doxology. You've said a whole lot, now you say now to him. Now to him. We see that in Ephesians 3:20. We see that in Jude 24, where the writer stops and just says, now to him. He's basically saying, now at the completion of all that I've said, now to him be glory. He's directing our attention upwards to the Lord. He's saying, the Lord is able. Do you see that? Now to him who is able. God is able. Able to what? To strengthen you. Who's he writing to, believers or unbelievers? To the church at Rome. He's writing to believers. God is able to strengthen you, believers, he says. That's his first part of his praise to God. This is the first part of the gospel that we're learning, the aspect of the gospel. The gospel is how we are strengthened. I want you to know today that Christians need strengthening. This world is broken and messed up with sin. It is cursed by God for our sin. It is fallen. It's messed up. And we are also messed up. We are sinners. We make mistakes. We make a mess of our lives. And we need to be strengthened. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about just getting saved and being born again and being made a child of God. Now that we are Christians, we need to be strengthened. Why do we need strength? So we won't give up. We need strength to keep walking through hard times. Anybody had any hard times in 2020? Man, one thing after another. Our country, everything we're going through. It's like, man, everything's tearing at us from every angle. And you just want to give up. You know, you just want to fade out into the night. We can't do that. And so, how are we going to keep going? How are we going to rise up as the church of God and be faithful to the one who made us, even when it's hard? Well, good news. We don't have strength for ourselves, but God is able to strengthen you. God is able to strengthen you. I want to speak that to you guys this morning, to those who are watching. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you've been hurting really badly. You need to know Paul is praising God because the gospel strengthens us. God is able. And so he praises God. God has not abandoned us. His Spirit is in us and with us. And he ministers to us the strength that we need because of the great love of God for his people. Now, I told you God is able to strengthen us. How does God strengthen his people? Look at the verse with me. I'm going to have to get some help here. All right, let me use this. I apologize for that. How does God strengthen his people? You might have 1,000 different answers or guesses. You know, people would answer that in different ways. Paul the Apostle just told us. How does God strengthen us? Look at it. What do the words say? Through or according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now, Christians, this is something we miss a whole lot. This is something a lot of believers don't know. You need to get this morning. God is able to strengthen you so you don't give up in your Christian life. What is the tool that God will use to strengthen you? What is the means that God will use to revive your soul in hard times and dark places? It is the preached gospel. Wow. The preached gospel. God uses the proclaiming of the gospel to revive and strengthen his people. Paul calls it my gospel because it's the gospel he preaches in every place he goes. And he received that gospel from God. He didn't learn it from a man. He tells us that in Galatians 1. And I want you to notice commentators point out these two phrases are two ways of saying the same thing. My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the preaching of Jesus Christ. It's the preached message of Jesus. Now, he died for our sins on the cross and rose again. Now, we all know that we are saved by hearing the preached gospel. We all know that we become a Christian by hearing the gospel and believing. But what Paul wants us to understand today, it doesn't stop after you become a Christian. You still need the preaching then. Preaching is not just for unbelievers so that they will become believers. Preaching is also what God uses to strengthen his church. And so, let me say it this way. At the beginning of Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to whoever believes. So at the beginning of Romans, you get saved by hearing the preached gospel. And now at the end of Romans, we hear that we not only get saved by the gospel, we grow up through the gospel. The same gospel that saves sinners strengthens the saints. If you're writing things down, here's what I would love for you to write down. Sinners are saved through faith in the preached gospel, chapter 1, verse 16. And saints are strengthened through faith in the preached gospel. We need to know that. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Why are many believers weak and discouraged? Why do many believers live with no spiritual strength? Could it be that they're not building their lives around the preaching of the Word of God? Could it be that they are not centering their family around the gatherings of Christ's church to hear the Word of the living God preached to their soul week after week as the regular defining rhythm of their life? God has given us a day. He built the earth in 6 days and then he rested. And when Israel became his people, he gave them the day off every Saturday, the Sabbath day, day of rest. And he wanted his people to center their lives around the regular rhythm. Right? You guys, rhythm, music. Every 7 days you're gonna... Well, in the New Covenant, We could take off, you know, and gather any day we want. We're in Christ. He's our Sabbath rest. But we meet on the first day of the week when Jesus rose from the dead and we hear the preaching. And that becomes a rhythm of our life. So that if you're out of the church, man, your life is out of rhythm. And God wants us to build around that, that regular washing of his word proclaimed over you and your kids, over you and your family. Over you, your heart, your mind. That word is what God uses to strengthen us. So I want to encourage you. Commit yourself to the preaching of the gospel. Come and hear it. And come and believe it. And then as you go home, discuss it together with your spouse. Discuss it with your kids. And obey it together. This is what God uses to strengthen us. But let's move on to the second aspect. We not only learn in this outburst of praise that the gospel is the reviving power for us, we also see here the revealing of the gospel. Look at this. Again, it's complicated phrases stuck together, but it's beautiful. He says, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known. What does that mean? Well, Paul is saying that the gospel of Jesus was not fully understood in the Old Testament times, but it was always there in their scriptures. Jesus was always there in the Old Testament, prophecies, pictures, pointing to Him. As Noah, you know, as they read about Noah and the ark, they were learning that God will provide a safe place from His anger. The flood waters that drown sinners, there is a dry, safe place to hide. Jesus is our ark. Jesus is our safety. And so all of these prophecies and pictures and shadows of the Old Testament, Jesus was there, but it was hard to see. But now with the preaching of Christ, now that Jesus has come and shown us that it's all about Him, now we see with God-opened eyes. We see with the Holy Spirit-given understanding that it was there all the time, and now we see it and we understand it. Look at this word. In the blue here, he calls it was a mystery and it was kept secret. But then he uses three words about revealing. Look at that. Revelation, and it's been disclosed, and it's been made known. Paul is saying that through the gospel of Jesus, God's truth is seen clearly. As one 4th century theologian said, Augustine, he said it like this. The New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. The Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. That's a really, really cool way of understanding this. It was concealed in the Old Testament. It's revealed in the New Testament. It's not two different messages. It was always there. God made the old scriptures point to Christ, but He did not fully reveal it until Christ came. Now we see it. Now, real quickly, before we move on, let me show you what Paul wrote at the very beginning of Romans. He's kind of reaching back to how he started the letter, going back to those themes. Romans 1, verse 2 and 3, he says, Paul, set apart for the gospel of God, which He promised beforehand through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning His Son. So God promised it in the Old Testament, and now it is come. Everything God wants us to know in this life has now been revealed in Christ in the Scriptures. So that's what we learn. We learn the reviving power of the gospel. We learn the revealing of the gospel. Now we learn the recipients of the gospel to all nations. God has made known His salvation in Christ. To whom? To all nations. This is a big theme in Romans. It's not just for Israel. It's not just for the Jews. But now the Gentiles have been grafted on to the olive tree. Amen? Romans 11. He's telling us that God has sent this gospel to all nations. We are blessed by that, guys, because most of us here are Gentiles. This fulfills what God promised to Abraham all the way back in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a numerous nation. I'm going to give you this land. And then what did he say? Through you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. How did God fulfill that promise? How are people from every nation today blessed through Abraham? Because Abraham's kids became Israel, and through Israel came Jesus. And people from any nation today can hear about Jesus and repent of their sins and embrace the love of God through faith in Christ. Isn't that beautiful this morning? Paul is busting out in praise to God that he strengthens Christians with the preaching, and that he has revealed it clearly now through Jesus, and that he's made it known to all nations. Let's move on to number four. We not only see the recipients of the gospel, we see the resolution of the gospel. By that I mean that God has resolved to save us through the gospel. God has made a firm resolution. Paul says it this way: according to the command of the eternal God. Let me ask you a question. Who said that the gospel is for every nation? Is it just us? Because, you know, if I dreamed up what I think God should be like, I think he should love everybody. Okay, that's a nice dream that I made up, but that doesn't make it true. But what the Bible reveals, what Scripture reveals, is that God himself wants to bless people from every nation. God said that the gospel goes to every nation. It didn't come from man. It didn't come from you. Just because you want God to want people to be saved doesn't make God do that. He already thought of it. He is the origin and the source of the gospel. Some people have that idea, we've talked about this before, that God the Father is mean and Jesus is the nice one, right? And so God wanted to judge and kill all of us and throw us in hell, but Jesus said, man, I've got to come up with a way to stop God the Father from killing everybody. So Jesus said, I'll go to the cross and I will take their sins. And God the Father said, okay, you know. And that is not Christianity. That is not the right view of God. Church, Jesus came to the cross because God the Father sent him to the cross. It's not that Jesus loves you and God the Father is angry. They were both angry at our sins, and they both agreed to save us by sending Christ to take our sins on the cross. Amen? You hear it? You with me? We see this in Romans 3:25. It said that God put Jesus forward as the propitiation for our sins. God put Jesus forward. Here you go, earth. Here's my son, Jesus. God put him forward at the cross as the propitiation of our sins. Propitiation, just a big word that means the wrath-removing sacrifice. So that when Jesus said, yes, sir, Father, he came and he obeyed God his whole life, and he went to the cross, and he took our sins on himself, and God poured out his wrath that was for you and I. His holy anger against our sins, God put it on Jesus so that he could pour his love on us when we were forgiven. God, Isaiah 53:10, says that it pleased God to crush Jesus. It pleased God to crush his son. Why did it make God happy to crush his son on the cross? Well, he wasn't happy to crush Jesus, but he was happy to save us by giving his son. This is what we learn about in the gospel, the heart of God, that he loves us when we are far from him. He loves us when we are wicked and hate him. He created us to live for his glory, but we turned our backs on him to live for our own glory. And his righteous anger was against us. But the heart of God is to save sinners. And he said, I'm going to show you the depths of my love. Look at the cross and see Jesus taking our sins. This is the firm resolution of God. The gospel is going out today to all the nations. Why? According to the command of the eternal God. God has commanded the gospel to go out. Let me ask you a question. Is it going out? Is the gospel spreading? Yeah, people have tried to stop it for a few thousand years. Read about Voltaire, you know, he made it his life's purpose to burn all the copies of the Bible in his day. Voltaire, look it up, read about it. Voltaire died, but the Bible is still here. They turned his house into a printing press, by the way, print the Bible. They'll teach you. You better think long and hard before you come against God. You can't win. One preacher used to say, your arms ain't long enough to box with God. Amen. TJ likes boxing. Well, you know, that was for you, man. All right. You can't oppose him. You can't win. God, in His love, has given us His Son. Romans 8:32 says this, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not with Him graciously give us all things? Look at the heart of God. The gospel is spreading in the earth because God commanded it to spread. You know, the gospel wasn't always here in America. How did the gospel come to you, man? Because God commanded it to spread to you. You ever thought about that? People took the gospel. Paul took it to Europe. Are your ancestors from Europe? God commanded Paul. He took the gospel to Europe. And millions of others took it out into various places. And today the gospel is spreading in the earth because God said it would spread. So we see the reviving power of the gospel. If you're weak, you need to hear the gospel preached regularly. We see the revealing of the gospel in the scriptures. We see the recipients of the gospel. It's all nations. And we see the resolution of God in the gospel. He commanded it. But we see a fifth thing in this doxology. We see the results of the gospel. We see the results. What is the result of the gospel in the text here? It says to bring about what? The obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. What a phrase that is. What does Paul mean by the obedience of faith? Well, he's preached to us in Romans that we're not saved by our good works, but through faith. But Paul wants to tell us what kind of faith saves. You know, lots of people, especially in the Bible Belt, you ever met anybody that lives like the devil and says they're a Christian? But I prayed that prayer when I was 8 years old. Okay. I prayed it about 1,000 times. And then I got saved one day. You see, you're not saved by repeating words. It's not a magic formula. It's a person that you meet. And when the gospel is preached, man, the Holy Spirit blows like the wind. And one day He blows on you. Amen? And He wakes you up and you're alive. And so people who say, I have faith in God, but they don't obey God. We've been studying the book of James on Wednesday nights. What does James have to say about faith without works? It's dead. Paul here is agreeing with James. He's saying that God has sent the gospel out. God has commanded the gospel to go to all nations to do what? To bring about the obedience of faith. When you have real faith in Jesus, it will result in obedience to Jesus, church. We are saved by faith, but it is a faith that produces evidence, works. You see, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives to transform us to look more like Christ. The results of the gospel is it's transformed lives. Have you ever met someone who was transformed by the gospel? You ever met any drug addicts or alcoholics who met Jesus? They're completely different now. You ever met someone who was the angriest person you ever met, and Christ transformed them through the gospel? These people are around us. They are evidence of the results of the gospel. God is bringing about the obedience of faith. I want to point out something to you really cool before we move to the last one. Paul used this phrase, the obedience of faith, at the beginning of Romans also. Look with me at Romans 1. Let's see, verse 5. Paul said, "We have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations." That's how Paul started Romans. And now as he's ending Romans, he's reaching back to the beginning of his letter. This phrase, the obedience of faith, it's like bookends of the book of Romans. The letter of Romans starts and ends with the obedience of faith. Must be important. Huh? Paul said this gospel, he said he became an apostle, he received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. And so we see the results of the gospel. I would ask you this morning, listen to me. Have you been transformed by the gospel? You can tell me all day long, "I have faith in Jesus, Pastor." But if you were sentenced on trial, brought before a judge for being a Christian, would there be any evidence to prove it? What is the evidence in your life that you've met Christ? Do you love God now? Do you love His Word? Do you love His church? Do you want to live for His glory? Are you seeing transformation inside your life? Is the Holy Spirit producing those fruits of love and kindness in you? It's nasty out there, especially on social media these days. Are you right in the middle of that foolishness? Or are you being transformed? What is the evidence that you've met Jesus? Paul wants you to know the results of the gospel. It's the obedience of faith. I believe Christ and I obey Christ. Amen. There's something for us to examine ourselves with this morning. But the last thing we learn about the gospel here in this doxology of Romans, we've seen the reviving power of the gospel, the revealing of the gospel, the recipients, it's all nations, God's firm resolution to command that it go out. We've seen the results of the gospel. It changes people. It brings the obedience of faith. But Paul saves the best for last here. Go back. Paul saves the best for last. It's the reason of the gospel. Goodness, I can just tell it to you. I write these up here because it helps some people. I don't know. The reason of the gospel. What is the reason of the gospel? What is the purpose of the gospel? Church, it is the glory of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Look how Paul closes this outburst of praise. To the only wise God be glory. How long? God has sent the gospel to give Him glory. How long? Forevermore. 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 That's a long time. God is going to be glorified through the gospel forevermore. How? How? Do you have your thinking caps on for a second? Let me ask you a question. What does this verse have to teach us about do all religions lead to God? How does this verse answer that question? Think about it. God wants glory through the gospel forevermore. Through what? Through any door you can open to get to Him. Through any path, through any philosophy, through any religion, God's just glad to have the glory however you're willing to give it to Him. Is that what it says? God has determined and commanded to be glorified forevermore through Jesus Christ. Sorry. Through Jesus Christ. Does Islam seek to get to God through Jesus Christ? Does Buddhism seek to get to God through Jesus Christ? Does trying to be a good person and love people seek to glorify Jesus Christ? Does any other religion but the gospel seek to get to God through Jesus Christ? It most certainly does not. So what does this teach us, guys? You see, God has a bigger purpose than just saving everybody. He is seeking to glorify His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know that is your purpose for living? To glorify Jesus Christ. And so whatever way you try to get to God, if it's not through Jesus Christ, then it doesn't glorify Jesus Christ. God's purpose is to glorify His Son. Because Jesus is so awesome, God has decreed every knee must bow to this Son of mine, Jesus. Jesus is so beautiful that God says everyone must eternally be satisfied by looking at Him. Jesus is so amazing that you can't get to God through any other way. Jesus Himself said that, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Me. This is how Romans ends, that there is no other way to God except the gracious door that God Himself has opened. And God has as His highest goal to glorify His Son through the gospel. This gospel is what the church has. It's the only thing we have that separates us from every other organization in the world. We are not bound together by just try to be good, try to help people. Yeah, we want to be good. We want to help people. But we have the gospel. The Rotary Club, the Lions Club, the Optimist Club, Red Cross, good organizations. But the church has the gospel. We are the guardians of the gospel. It's all we got, man. If we lose the gospel, we're no longer the people of God. We're just an organization trying to do some good. We are the eternal family of God in Jesus Christ. We have the gospel, the message that saves, the message God has sent to all nations. Wow. God has sent out the gospel for what reason? To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So be it. And the book of Romans ends with glory to God through Jesus Christ forevermore. Amen. Wow. Beautiful. I pray that your life is being transformed by the gospel. I pray that you and I know this God who made us. He created us. He loves us so much, and we've sinned against Him. And we try to live our lives for other goals and pleasures and things. But God has made a way through His Son Christ. God was willing to crush His Son in our place so that we would never have to taste His wrath. but only His love. We deserve the wrath of God. You and I do. But God has made a way for Him to be glorified and us to be saved. It is only and ever and always through the gospel, which is what the book of Romans teaches us. And it all comes down to the glory of God in the gospel. That's what Christianity is all about. If you get sidetracked with, you know, a passage of the Bible you don't understand, or it's all really about just loving people. No, listen to me. It's not really all about just loving people. Love is big, yes. Love is huge in Christianity. It's about loving people through Jesus Christ. God has made it come through Him. And so the church has to hold on to this gospel in every generation. There is an offer of salvation in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are hearing the gospel preached this morning and you want Jesus, you can have Him. If you can come to God repenting of your sins and putting your trust in what Jesus did at the cross for you, you can be welcomed into this people of God. Maybe you're hearing me online this morning. I want to invite you to turn from your sins and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much for the gospel. We have learned through just Paul's doxology, we've seen these precious, beautiful sides of the gospel. Lord, how that You have commanded this gospel to go out to the nations, to bring about the obedience of faith, and that this gospel is going out to give You glory through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, You didn't owe us 10 or 15 ways to God. You didn't owe us any ways to God, but You have opened up a big door through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And You're sending out this invitation to people from all nations saying, come to God through Jesus. Father, we praise You this morning for opening that door through Christ. We praise You, O God, because You are worthy of glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. And Father, we bless Your name today. We want to live for Your glory. We want our lives to be centered around this preaching of this gospel. We want the rhythm of our family to be built around this preaching of the gospel. We thank You that Your gospel strengthens and revives us and gives us purpose. Oh God, if there's anyone here who needs Christ today, would You bless them? Would You minister to them? Would You bring about the obedience of faith in their hearts? That their heart would no longer beat for the things of this world, but for Your glory through Christ. Your glory through Christ.